thanks, Rebecca. And I should say that it was very fortuitous for me to meet Rebecca, and that was, in many ways, the beginning of what has evolved into now an international interest group in dog walking and physical activity. And part of the reason I want to let you know about that is because if any of you have an interest, besides Joni, who I know is also part of that, and Lauren, to please let me know, and I'll be happy to put you on the distribution list. You don't get emails every day. We meet by phone, every month or two, just to discuss what's going on with us. And we are planning to have a probably a full day meeting as soon as we can identify a venue that most of us tend to congregate at anyway, to actually establish an international research agenda in this area. So just a little marketing there. So as Rebecca said, I'm going to talk to you a little bit specifically about the notion of promoting activity and health through dog walking. And this is usually about an hour, 90-minute talk, so I want to let you know that part of the way I cut it down was to cut out some slides, but part of the way I cut it down was to practice in hyperspeed. So bear with me, and I'll be happy to talk to you in more detail about any of this later on. Left click. Thanks. So what I'm going to do is briefly give you some background and rationale for why we think this is a promising strategy. I'm going to really condense some of the research to date, and then I'm going to talk for just a minute or two about where some of the gaps are and some of the research needs. So this has already been well established, both by our speakers today and in the literature, that there are clearly health benefits associated with having companion animals, and this is a short list. So the next question you might have is, why dogs for promoting physical activity? Well, you all probably don't have that question, but many audiences do. Well, here are some of the reasons. We have about 72 million dogs in U.S. households. About close to 40% now have at least one dog, and 35% have two or more. And these numbers are similar in Australia, and we're guessing in other developed countries around the world. And for folks who don't have dogs of their own, there are opportunities to connect and walk with dogs in venues like shelters, rescue groups, foster homes, neighbors, for example. So by virtue of our, access to dogs, if you will, there's great potential in their influence. And this is a little cartoon. I don't know if you can read it, but this woman's shopping for treadmills, and the salesperson says it doesn't have the bells and whistles of some of our other models, but it won't turn into a coat rack either. So, some people think this may be a stretch, but, some studies have been done that show people who had treadmills in their homes were more likely to exercise, at least for the first 6 months. We might hypothesize that many of us then have the exercise equipment right in our homes already. What I want to do quickly is to illustrate another way I think that indicates the tremendous potential of dogs' influence on our decisions about everything. And this is the tendency to use dogs to market other products, like Alan showed you already. But I have noticed, this is just observational, in recent years, an almost exponential increase in this kind of advertising. Here are just a few of them. Of course, this one is to market floors. This is to market a credit card. This is actually for pet insurance. This is for an air purifier. This is for medication, toilet paper, fabric. So those are just a few. So hopefully I've established at least the possibility in your mind of why dogs, answering the questions why dogs. So now we go to why walking. it's one of the most, it is the most popular form of physical activity in the United States. It's adaptable to people of different ages, people with weights, a variety of differences. You can walk as fast or slow as you want. You can walk as frequently or as infrequently as you want. You can walk where you want, as long as you have, and this gets to the accessibility piece a little bit too, as long as you have some comfortable shoes and somewhere to walk, you can do it. You don't have to buy a lot of equipment. You don't have to join a gym. You don't have to have a personal trainer. And it's associated with adherence to exercise in ways that, many sort of structured programs are not. As a matter of fact, there have been some studies, several studies actually, that have shown that the average adherence to structured exercise programs is about 6 months. If you look at a, and now I'm blanking on the author's name. Oh, Morgan, William Morgan, put out a study in 2001 talking about physical activity. Now, this was a series of case studies, but these were people who had been regularly active, who met or exceeded public health recommendations for physical activity, which is 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity, 5 days of the week, historically is what the recommendation has been. So these people have met or exceeded that for between 5 and 50 plus years. Of the 10 case studies, 7 of them, I believe, were walkers, and 4 of them were dog walkers. And they indicated that the reason they walked was because the dog needed exercise. So this is the notion of purposeful physical activity, something that goes beyond the end goal, if you will, a fitness goal. It's more, or even the intrinsic value of exercise. It's a reason other than for yourself, for your fitness. A study in Canada actually identified a construct that they call dog obligation that actually accounted for 13% of the variance in intention to walk within the theory of planned behavior, and about 1% in the actual walking behavior. So to me, that's huge. We've identified a theoretical construct that can help explain why this might work. And then our other speakers have already addressed this notion of social support. Increased access and opportunities, which is one of the community guide recommendations for physical activity interventions, those that increase access or opportunities for physical activity. Well, having a dog does that. It gives you more opportunities to be active. Incidentally, interventions that provide social support are another genre, if you will, of interventions that are recommended in the Community Guide to Preventive Services. And dog walking can be a potential catalyst for actually increasing walkabilities in communities. If you go out and walk a dog and you see that there are not safe crosswalks, or that the sidewalks are torn up, or other reasons like that, it can actually lead to first of all, awareness, and secondly, advocacy to have those conditions change. Not unlike the walk to school programs have had in this country that, ultimately resulted in, $52 million be at the federal level being devoted to creating these programs. And then, of course, we have the issue of dog obesity, and this is just a doggy couch potato to indicate that. But as many of you probably know, obesity is raising in an alarming rate in dogs as it is in humans. This is an old ad from the American Council of Exercise that says, think of her as an exercise machine with hair. Now, well, I'm going to really rip through this lit review to date. There are approximately 20-some studies published to date. Most of them have been since 2001. Most are cross-sectional at this point, but there are a few longitudinal, three intervention studies, a couple of case studies, one that I couldn't find out because it was within a review, and a review that Haley Cutt just published this year from Australia. So quickly, here are some of the findings. You see here that dog owners who walk their dogs for at least an hour a week were almost 2 times more likely than non-owners to meet physical activity recommendations. Now, in that same study, dog owners that didn't walk their dogs were actually less likely to meet recommendations. This is a study in Canada, the second bullet, that found dog owners walk 300 minutes a week compared to 168 minutes a week for non-owners, which means they met public health recommendations in this country in any way. And then I mentioned the variance in dog obligation. Sorry, 11%, not 13. And the 1% I mentioned. The first bullet is actually the Serpell study in 1991 that was done in the United Kingdom. And he followed people that adopted animals from the local shelter, and he followed them for 10 months. And he found, he used this metric to combine durations and frequency of walking to measure. And the differences were dramatic at month 1, at month 6, and at month 10 in the dog owners. And then another study reported that that the individuals walked an average of over 4 miles a day for over 10 years because the dogs needed exercise, and this was one of the case studies in the Morgan paper. More findings. People who got a dog increased their usual walking from, this is a case study, but this in technical terms blew me away. This was a depressed patient who got a depressed obese patient who got a dog, went from walking 2 to 3 hours a week to walking 3 hours a day, discontinued her antidepressant and anti-hypercholesterolemia therapy within 4 months, and she lost 7 kilograms without changing her eating habits. It's one case study, but it's pretty profound, I think. And then another study that was just looking at walking and included dog walking showed that from 1985 to 2003 in the U.S., the walking duration among dog owners remained stable at about 30 minutes a day, again, meeting public health recommendations. Still some more findings, and I think this is the last slide of those. Dog walking increased frequency and duration of social contact while walking. You're more approachable with a dog than you are without. A sizable proportion of dog owners, however, do not walk their dogs, and this was part of the Cutt review paper. And whether physical activity through dog walking is at recommended levels in all cases is not yet clear, so it needs more research. Oh, so I guess I didn't put in the last. So there are some gaps. We've got enough, I think, already of association. What we need now are some intervention studies, either large-scale sort of mass media, community-wide campaigns. Can we get dog owners who don't walk their dogs to walk them? And community-based intervention studies like Rebecca is going to describe to you when she does her presentation. So that's it for me.
Thank you.
Thanks.